Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just as a way of introduction, because I think it helps to know the people who are talking to you. And, you know, often there's more about where you're coming from is the life that you live. So I live in a place called Corby in Northamptonshire, which is the middle of the country, which is just a small town. And it's high on all of the kind of things that you don't want to be high on all of those rates, like teenage pregnancies and unemployment and all of those things. COVID rates last year were highest in the country for most of the year. And it's always lowest on all of the rates you don't want to be lowest on as well. But God's in that place, and God's been moving in that place. And I am one of the elders and the youth pastor, don't know how that works, in the church that we helped plant 13, 14 years ago. And, you know, I'm just passionate about seeing God move in the young people there. I'm wife to Andy, and we have 5 children, most of whom have left home now. And I'm proud of them. They're amazing, and one of my main jobs in life has been to raise them to be people who love Jesus more than anything else. I want them to be sold out for Him. And I would think it was at Limitless Leaders a few years ago when I heard somebody say that the average kind of career expectancy for a youth minister was 18 to 24 months, and I was like, man, I've smashed it. I don't succeed in that much in life, but I've smashed that one. But I looked up. It was from 2012. It was some research in America, and it was actually talking about maybe the average kind of tenure, like the average amount of time that maybe somebody would stay within one ministry. And he talked about how, it's really important for youth ministers to stay longer. And sometimes we look at, we're not there for long enough. It takes time to build a youth ministry. And I think there's lots of reasons why possibly people don't stay in youth ministry. I think one of them is that ministry isn't quite as glamorous as we think it is when we go into it. So people come into ministry and they think, yeah, I get to do the thing that I love to do in my spare time, that I've got a heart, I can do this for Jesus. But as we know, as you and I know, it's not glamorous in any way. Sometimes it's boring, and it isn't necessarily what we think it's going to be. And, you know, just being real, any form of leadership is lonely, like especially last couple of years, you know, any kind of leadership, being in that position, constantly making decisions, it can be a lonely place. And I think especially as youth leaders, I don't think we also always get the support and the input that we need. I've been in lots of churches over the years and heard people praying, and often they pray for the pastor and their family. And I, you know, absolutely think we should pray for our pastors and our families. But often I'm thinking, I wish you'd pray for my family. I'm sure everyone's got their things, but you know, just, I don't know if people always see the amount of work that goes into youth ministry when you are producing plans week after week, several times a week, or if you're in school or whatever you're doing, it's relentless, isn't it? And working with volunteers is unreliable at the best of times. And all of these things that I'm saying are, you know, just been kind of amplified by COVID and all that's gone on. And, it's like you build into people and then they move on. And it's like, and you want to be really gracious, like it's all about the kingdom, but inside you're like, I've just poured so much time into that person. And let's not forget, we're in a spiritual battle. Whatever we're doing for God, we are in a spiritual battle. And sometimes I think we just forget that. And youth work can be unsociable. Let's face it, it's evenings, it's weekends. It's hard to stay in that. It's hard to keep going with that. And often we're seen as second-class ministers that we're waiting for. You know, hopefully when you grow up, you might move on to adult ministry. And I just think that's a load of rubbish. And sometimes on a very practical thing, some people just can't afford to stay in youth ministry. There isn't a lot of money always. And, I've been really blessed in that my husband's been the main earner in our family. So I haven't needed that kind of support. God's been really gracious to us. And sometimes we're just expected to do too much in our role. You know, sometimes I've seen it a time and time again when youth ministers come into a job and the job description is unbelievable. It's like, you are going to save the whole town and we're going to have all of these young people. And so we have unrealistic expectations of ourselves, and and there are unrealistic expectations of others. In the Longer Haul Youth Ministry blog, Jodie Livingstone writes that youth workers would find great joy in their role, but it takes time to build a youth ministry. He said the problem is that often we don't have a long-term plan. And I think often when we start in youth ministry, we are quite young. So sometimes to stay for the long haul is quite hard, because you're not necessarily got the resilience that you need to carry on. But often, and I'm still like it now, I'm not very good at long-term planning. I want to try and achieve too much too fast. Does anybody else relate to that? And but it takes time to build relationships, not just relationships with young people, but relationships with parents, to build trust with leadership. It takes time. And we get disillusioned on how hard it really is. And we think that maybe there'll be greener pastures elsewhere. But, you know, it isn't always greener on the other side, as we know. And there's probably loads of other things that I've missed. And recently I was reading an article by a good friend of mine, Paul Friend, who is works with Southwest Youth Ministries, who's writing in Christianity magazine. And he was saying for a long time, there's a wider cultural problem within youth work, in that for years we've seen youth workers recruited to become church leaders. And so there's been a lack of youth leaders. But he said recently he's had church leaders contacting him, asking for youth workers, and there's more youth work jobs than there are people to fill those jobs. And there's a problem within the culture of youth ministry and ministry and church, in that there has been a lack of good training for a long time. There's a lack of career pathway for people to feel like they're making a progression. There's a lack of resources given to youth workers, both what we're paid and what we're given to work with. And again, that feeling that, you know, we're slightly second class. And we, as youth workers, we can't change necessarily the culture. We might not be in the position to change the culture around us in terms of the wider youth work problem. But how do we keep going? How do we keep going through it when it's hard? How do we stick at it week in, week out? Well, I just want to let you into a little secret. When it says an expert, I just kind of feel like I'm not really an expert, but I have been doing youth work for a long time. And there's a few things that I've picked up on the way, things that I feel like that have helped me to get through. So I'm going to share some of the things that have helped me to get through. And I think for me, they're the secret of getting through. And you'll probably know some of these things. And if someone else was doing this talk, they'd probably do it a lot more professional, kind of, you know, have your goals and success and all of that. But I'm just going to tell you how personally I have got through, and some of the things that I have worked up along the way. And when I first started doing youth ministry, I did it as a volunteer, as a youth in the youth work. And I loved Jesus. I was passionate about Jesus. And God had captured my heart as a teenager. He'd like done work in me. And I just wanted to share that with other people. And so I went into youth ministry with a passion for Jesus and a passion for young people. And I would say that my passion for Jesus is deeper and stronger than it's ever been. And my love for young people is still there. And so however many years on that it is, that God is still doing that work. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about how God has given me certain focus to keep on going through youth ministry. Is that okay? So I'm going to do a little whistle stop tour of things I've learned along the way. So we're not going to be here for 3 hours, don't worry. And just a few things that have helped me to focus. And the first one is dependence and not self-reliance. Dependence and not self-reliance. As I said, I started as a volunteer. I was a young person who had very little confidence, and to speak in front of people, I was so nervous. So in order to do anything for Jesus, I needed his help. I needed to like throw myself onto him, to be close to him. And just to, I had no idea what I was doing. In the 90s, if any, might be other people here who were in youth groups in the 90s, but our youth group was called Jesus Jam, Jesus and Me acronym. So yeah, classic. So I was asked to lead a group. I was only 17 at the time. And there were 9 to 12, so pre-teens idea. So we called it Jammy Dodgers. Yeah. And I honestly had no idea what I was doing, but I just spent time with Jesus. I drew close to him. I relied on him. And you know what? It's really good when that's the way around it is, because when things go well, Jesus gets the glory, and it's about him anyway. And so what happened was there became like a routine, a habit in my life of prayer that I had to throw myself onto him. In Hebrews 12, and we've been reminded of these verses in the last few days, it says, you know, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so I've just come back to Jesus again and again, saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I love you. This is all about you anyway. And so to make time with Jesus, front and center, such a priority in your life. We know it. There's nothing new under the sun, is it? But we just don't do it. And we need to make that a priority in our life, to just keep fixing our eyes on Jesus. Honestly, that is my number one secret of how to keep going is to keep going to Jesus. And the thing is, it created a habit in me at the very start of my ministry that I felt like if I wasn't close to Jesus, something wasn't quite right in my life, and I felt like such a hypocrite standing before people. So it created a habit in me that has, you know, just kept me going over the years. And when I went to university, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was just like on fire for him. I was just passionate. I was just, it like telling people about Jesus was just, you know, it just would come out of me. And I remember so what happened was I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at uni, and then I shared that with my youth group, and then we saw like a move of God through our youth group, and we set up an interdenominational youth event, and we had no clue what we were doing. We were a bunch of teenagers, and I remember the first time I preached being so scared and standing in this Pentecostal church, spoke for too long, talked about the passion for holiness, and 5 young people gave their life to Jesus who came to our local drop-in event. They were 5 young people that were connected to the local drug dealer's family. And years later, we've seen 2 of those guys go through ups and downs of addiction. And I remember one of them sharing with me a couple of years ago, because of that day, that Pentecostal church, there was a point where he nearly died, and he knew he wasn't going to die because he knew that God had him. And in that moment, when he was in hospital, he called out to God. And so although their journey has been up and down over the years, God has been there. And because now I'm back in Corby, I'm from Corby, and I've gone back there, you know, people come back and you see them later on. And even in that, you know, the importance of longevity in a place, you know, you sometimes see people and they come back to you. The second thing is to focus on, oh gosh, I've gone the wrong way. Got it upside down. I would help if I got it right way up. It's calling and not career. Now, I'm not saying if you see youth work as a career that it's wrong, but for me, I've never seen my job as a career. It's always first and foremost a calling and a vocation in my life. And when I left university, I went to work with I went to train with Youth for Christ. And when I was at university, I had this sort of like, I was just all over the place. Should I be there? Shouldn't I be there? I don't really know if I feel called. And I said to Jesus, wherever I go now, I want to know that you have called me, so that when it gets hard, I'm going to hang on. And so for 6 weeks, I was praying and I was reading this devotion about Esther, where it said, you know, she was the right person at the right place at the right time for such a time as this. And I was reading this, and you know, you have those moments where you suddenly get revelation and you think, because I was going, God, just show me like where I'm, you know, am I meant to, they were sending me to Devon. So I was like, am I meant to go to Devon? I just don't know. And it was like God just gave me this revelation as I sat there looking at this pond, and he went, Faye, you're the right person at the right place, in the right place at the right time. You're called for such a time as this. I've called you to go down to Devon. And I wrote that down and I held on to it. And over the next few years, I was part of leading a team of young people and part of doing a pioneering rural schools work. And we saw lots of really great stuff happen. We saw young people become Christians. We ran youth events and we did assemblies and lessons. But also, it was a baptism of fire into ministry. We were busy. I was driving everywhere. I was breaking down in cars everywhere because people donated. You know what it's like in Christian youth work. They donate the rubbish's cars that they're finished with. And I literally, other people used to drive and I would be the one. I can literally go around the place in rural Devil and go, I broke down there. But also, like, we were a bunch of young people who, I don't know, the relational difficulties that we struggled with, it was tricky. But all the way through, I held on to that word, Faye, you're the right person at the right place at the right time. And so I would encourage you, like, wherever you are, when God calls you to a place, to spend some time just seeking and saying, God, just give me some scriptures, give me some stuff to hold on to, that when this gets hard, that I know that I'm called. And I felt that when I was preparing this, in Psalm 139, it talks about God knitted us together in our mother's womb. And you know, I felt like God saying, you know, he doesn't just knit together our physical being. Like, he knows before you were even born that you would have a passion for young people, that you would be called for ministry, and that he's knitted that together within you. It's not an accident that you've ended up in this place, and to hold on to that, that you are called. And this is more than a career, it's a calling. The third thing is servanthood and not glory. Now, we all know that leadership is about servanthood. We all know Jesus was a servant first. But sometimes we get a little bit distracted and we get a little bit antsy about, you know, I didn't get thanked for that. And, or, you know, looking at other people, what other people are doing. And God just draws me back again and again. Jesus was a servant. Jesus was a servant first, and he brings me back to Philippians 2, where Jesus didn't, where it says, you know, he didn't consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he made himself, you know, into like as a servant, you know, and he put, and the whole encouragement in that chapter to pour yourself out as a sacrifice. And it's like, I just feel that every time I get a little bit antsy, a lot antsy, let's face it, God brings me back to that. And when I left, I was part of Southwest Youth Ministries, and when I left that, from there, I was really blessed because I was offered a part-time job in my little church in Devon, which met on a farm. And it enabled me to be able to be, so my husband's first wife passed away quite suddenly to cancer, and he was left with three children. And I knew that I needed to be the kind of mum that I needed to be to those three children, and that required a lot of my time. So I couldn't work at the same pace as I had been working. I couldn't do what I was doing. And so, and I was quite happily, you know, sacrificially to kind of go into that place. But I felt that God just went, Faye, you know, this is, it's not about glory. It's not about a big ministry. You know, you might be in a small church in Devon, but you just wait and watch what I'm going to do in that place. And also, there's nothing like being a mum to teach you that it's about, like, youth work is about servanthood and not glory. JR said yesterday that he's got a teenager in his house and he's tired. I've had preteens and teenagers as a primary carer in my life for over 20 years. I mean, no wonder I look tired. I mean, it's a joy and a privilege because, you know, if there are parents here amongst you, you're doing youth work with your children as well. And they're your primary youth work if they're in your home. And so in that time, the Lord showed me another thing, which was the importance of effectiveness and not busyness. And I'm still like, you know, we are talking to me who is always busy, and I really struggle with having those margins in our life that Tim talked about. But I remember God saying to me in that time, Faye, I want to show you what I can do with a sharpened axe in a place. If you spend time waiting on the Holy Spirit, if you're led by me, I'm going to show you what I can do. And I was part of that church before I worked for it, and then I worked for them for 7 years. And so I saw a couple of cohorts of young people through those key times in their life all the way through secondary school. And I'm not... In preparation for this, I actually, I happened to be in Devon and was chatting to some people, and they were telling me about some of the things that young people are doing from that church. And this is not about me. We saw a really special move of God in that place. And we had parents who were committed to discipling their young people. And so I worked with them. I had good relationship. We were real family. But this is some of the updates of some of the young people who used to be in our small church in Devon. One has been leading Soul Edge in New Zealand and is now working as a youth pastor there. One girl has just finished doing youth work ministry with Southwest Youth Ministries and now is training to be a Baptist minister in Plymouth. One guy, most unlikely guy, biggest pain in the butt, and I tell you, when he was coming into youth, I thought, oh no. Lord, give me a heart. He is now training to be a vicar in Taunton. It's honestly unbelievable. One of the lads is working with YWAM in South Sudan. One of them works in London in a finance company, but is also, as well as raising their four children, is an elder and worship leader at his church, while his wife's working for Compassion. One of them's working for a charity in Oxford and serving a church on the international team and the worship team. Like, the list goes on. One of them is leading a charity called Freedom Calling in the US. Another guy's working for a church in the US. It's absolutely, when I look back at what God did in that time, I'm absolutely blown away. And I know that it's not really to do with me. It's to do with what God was doing. And definitely, you know, their parents' impact in their lives. But the consistency of being there through that time and just pouring in and being focused with that group of young people, it's amazing what God can do. And you don't always see it at the time. And, you know, I'm one who, you know, struggles to, you know, if loads of things go right and one thing goes wrong, I find it really hard not to just focus on that one thing that went wrong. But sometimes it's good just to take a step back and see the wider picture of what God's doing. The next thing that I think is so important is relationships and not programs. And again, we all know that this has been one of my values through ministry all the way through. And I remember when I came back to Corby and I hadn't been in schools work for a long time, I was absolutely petrified of going back to school. My first outing back to school was to do sex and relationships lesson to year nine in school, like the worst age group, worst subject. And and I remember just crying, going, I don't know if I can do school's work anymore. And my pastor was like, Faye, I'll come and sit at the back and encourage you. And I went, no, I can do it. And I went back into school and I thought, you know, young people haven't changed. Their issues haven't changed. Like, society's changed. They're facing a lot more things, as we know, and I think we've seen a rapid change in things. But at the end of the day, youth work is all about relationship and, you know, leading them from wherever they are a little bit closer to Jesus. They might not know him, but we just lead them. I just give them Jesus. That's all that I can give them. I can give them myself and loving them and building friendship, listening to them, and leading them to Jesus. And so to come back to that again and again has been important for me. And you know, and I think like during the pandemic, I watched our youth group really thrive. It was unbelievable. And I kept going to seminars where they were talking about how youth work needed to change and how the church needed to change. And I was, and like they were talking about all this stuff, and I kept going to these seminars and going, I don't know what I need to change, God. Like, I don't know what they're saying. And a few months ago I was in a meeting and I had this sudden realization that the whole time I've been doing youth work, I've been focusing on discipleship and relationship, and that's what people were talking about. And I'm not really fancy big events kind of person. It's just I am who I am. I am who I am in God, and Jesus is with me, and I can just offer that to people. And so, and at the end of the day, you know, our big events, they're good, but when everything is stripped away, then what remains is that relationship with God, that relationship with young people. And I've never been in a project where we've had very much money and lights. I've never had a smoke machine. I don't want a smoke machine. It'd probably make me wheezy. But, you know, I haven't had those things. And we just need to be really, really careful they're not a bad thing, by the way. I'm not saying that any of these things, like programs, aren't a bad thing. Just relationship is priority. And in 1 Chronicles 21, when David takes a census of his people, he's relying on his own strength, and he gets into real trouble about it. And there's a real warning for us to be really careful about how we measure our success, whether it's about numbers and whether it, you know, it's what we've got and how good our event was. A few years ago, a new head teacher came to our school. She's a Christian, and she was selling the vision for the school. And she put this picture of a tree up, and in the roots of the tree, it showed all the roots, and it had all these values that as a school they wanted to build into the young people. And I sat in this like school meeting, and I was crying as she shared her vision for the school. She said, you know, we don't know the world our young people are going to grow up into. They probably won't have the same jobs, the same career for the whole of their life. But what we're doing is we're building people. And what we want to do as a school is to build into them the values that represent this school, and which are based on God, because it's a C of E school. And she shared this vision, and I thought, yeah, that's what we're doing. We need to remember we are building people and not programs. And that takes time. And we can't always see what's going on, because we're seeing the roots, the roots, the stomach happening under the surface, and we can't always see that. But to remind ourselves that that's what we're doing. We're building people and not programs. The next thing is consistency and not unreliability. Now, having been back in Corby now for 14 years, which I can't believe, the importance of consistency has really come home to me recently. And it sounds a bit boring, but it's the thing that makes a difference. Being present with people, like our presence, and being present with people is so important. Being available, if you are a parent and your teenager wants to talk to you at 12 o'clock at night when you want to go to bed, you've just got to be available in that moment because that's the moment they've chosen to speak to you. And that's not necessarily saying as a youth worker you need to do that. But your presence is important. And faithfulness and loyalty, they're not really sexy, are they? You know what I mean? Like, they're not, but they are life impacting. Faithfulness, loyalty, kindness, consistency, being there week in, week out. In a world that is ever changing, our consistency for young people is more important than ever. And in the last couple of months, it's really come home to me. I had a phone call from a mum who said, can you come around? So her son had just come out of off remand. He'd got a lighter sentence than he thought. And he wanted to talk about how can I be good? And I was like, okay. And it's honestly, it's like, you know, I've watched him. I've been in his school when he's been in trouble. I've taken his mum to the hospital when her car had been smashed in by the drug dealers who were after him, to pick him up while he's got, pick him up with dried blood on his trousers from being stabbed. He's been in and out of prison. He's kind of like, he believes in Jesus and he's kind of walking with him. But whenever he comes back again, he's like, Faye, how can you help me to be good? And so, you know, when we have this conversation, and I don't know where he is again today, but it's like the importance of just being there, you know, past sometimes their teenage years. I sat in Tesco's with a young person who's been off to uni and come back, and I thought, right, this will take about an hour. I'm recruiting her to be on the kids team. This is good. And an hour and a half later, as she sat there with tears rolling down her face, I looked at the clock and I thought, I'm not going to get the rest of what I want to do done today. And 2.5 hours later, I was sitting in the car in the car park, rain coming down, praying with her as she'd shared with me the trauma that she'd experienced as a child, as she didn't know what was happening when her and her mum and her brothers were in a refuge. She said, Faye, I've never shared that with anyone apart from my boyfriend, and he's rubbish. He doesn't know how to help me. And she said, but it's because you've known me for so long, because you were my youth leader. And so there she is, 22 years old now, and, you know, reaching out for God and having all of this trauma that she's pushed down. And I knew a lot of that stuff had happened, but she wasn't ready to talk about it. But to be able to be there for her in that moment, it was more important than recruiting her to the team. And then a few weeks ago, I had a phone call, and from a young girl in the middle of the night, and she should be a youth leader. Like, that's God's destiny for her. But and I used to spend time discipling her. She came from a non-Christian home. She was on fire for Jesus. Got a non-Christian boyfriend 7 years ago and fell away from church. And over the years, when she got sacked, she came at my door. When she's struggling with addiction, she came to my door. And a few weeks ago, she rang me to say that her boyfriend of 7 years had been in a car accident, and he passed away the day later. And she texted me about a week later and said, Faye, I can't afford counselling. The NHS have got nothing to offer me. But she said, I can talk to you. You always know. You're the only person I can talk to about how I'm feeling. And so I picked her up. Sat on the sofa in the church office, and she just wept, and I didn't have anything to say. I just held her and had the privilege of saying, is it all right if I pray for you? Yeah, you can pray for me. And, you know, I love these young people. It's not all, you know, when I was in Devon, it was a very different picture to being in Corby. But, you know, I know that girl is probably alive because she's able to text me, because she's able to talk to me. And that doesn't happen overnight. We're building people, and that consistency is so important. So I want to invite Des to come and join me. Des, would you mind coming up? Give him a little round of applause. Are we able to use this microphone? I don't know. Yeah? Good. I don't know if it's on.
Ooh. Hello.
Oh, it's
working.
It's good.
Thank you.
Des. So Des and I met in breakout room.
Yeah.
3 or something during the pandemic. Never met him before. Realised he lived in Kettering, which is like literally about 4 miles away from where I live. And he's working. Well, you tell us about yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. Lights are bright, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do I look good in bright lights? Okay. All right. Just checking. My name's Des, and I now live in Kettering with my wife, Nikki, who's over there. She comes You need to clap.
Yeah, you do.
Because she comes to keep me in control. You need to know that. In a nutshell, I'll just give you a brief overview of where my life has been. I was born in Birmingham. Yeah, that's good. I wanted to be born in Wales, but my mum wouldn't agree to it. And inside, I feel Welsh, and I support the Welsh rugby team, and you know, back from the days of JJ Williams, Gareth Edwards, Phil Bennett, and all those guys. Remember them? I don't care who we lose to, as long as we beat the English. Sounds terrible to start, doesn't it? Anyway, you know, the one thing I'll say, God starts planning our lives before we know it. He starts training us to be youth leaders and giving us the skills to be youth leaders before we know about it. So back when I was 11 and I was had my brother's friends down in the basement and I was teaching them, because back in those days, which sounds really old, back in those days, before you could sign on for benefit, you had to prove that you could pass, you know, several things, you know, you could do basic maths, basic English. And I was teaching and I was working with these older boys at age 11. And then I went on, and God did various things, which I won't go into right now. But then we moved to Luton because of my job. I was a tax inspector. It's okay. Do you know that every time I mention that in church, people boo me? Outside, nobody says anything. In church, they boo me. I moved to Luton, and we went to a different church. And after a year, they asked me to come and work with the youth group, the young people, and I've been working with youth and young people now, I would say, for around about 38 years. And I did that, and then I worked in the church. I was just doing it as a volunteer, and then eventually I went full-time in the church and worked with youth. And today, I remember at one stage, I was sitting in my office and the elder came in. He says, "What you're doing?" I says, I'm strategizing, I'm planning succession, you know, youth leaders to come up, because I don't see myself being a youth leader when I'm 60. God laughed at that. God laughed at that. So then I spent time in church, and I used to go in schools and do schoolworks, and I would say to you, if you get the opportunity to get into schools, do it. Do not go into school saying you've come in there to preach the gospel, because they will reject you. Go in there and offer yourself to them and build almost trust with them. And through that trust and through the love that you show, young people will come to you and you'll be able to share Christ's love with them. And then the teachers will respect you, and then they'll open the doors for you, and then you'll be able to share properly. So anyway, I started going to school, and then I suddenly thought one day, hold on, if my son came home and I says to him, "Who taught you today?" And he said, "Des." And I said, "Who's Des?" And he said, "He comes from the church." I want to know what qualifications it got. So I went on and started to do a teaching degree. I was still working with the church. But after a while, I left the church and went into teaching, because I felt God saying to me, "Des, you need to widen this field." And I know sometimes as a youth leader, you get stuck into this thing where the church and the leaders are saying to you, you can only work with the people in your church, and you can only work with those kids, and you're saying the same thing to them over and over again, and you're doing nothing with them. But I felt God was saying to me, "Des, you're not growing pigs. You're not growing, trying to get them fatter and fatter. You want them to go out and do things." You know, so I did get them out doing things. Trust me, I got the youth out. But I felt God was saying to me, "You need to work with the younger group, and you need to draw them out." So obviously, I went in school. I became a teacher, and it was great, because I was able to do assembly. I was able to teach the songs. I was able to teach. You know, and these kids were learning about Jesus. I tell you, one of my greatest surprises, I was sitting in class one day, and when the kids were working, I used to put on, you know, gospel music and whatever, and it's very, very low. And one day I'm sat at my desk and I'm hearing this, and I thought, hold on, it sounds a bit louder, so I'm turning down the speaker, but it was still loud, and I turned around, my class was singing. And I thought, wow. And I hadn't preached or anything to them and the rest of it. And, you know, anyway, there's a long story going on there. Anyway, I then became a head teacher in a school. So I've got a whole school that's mine now, so I can do what I want. I'm like, oh, yay! I took over this this primary school, and it was in the rough, one of the roughest areas in Hemel Hempstead, which is just outside London. Every time I talked to someone, said I'd gone to this school, they all went, you know, so I knew I was in trouble. Anyway, so I went to this school, and I remember going in, and they said, we're going to do, you know, the play for Christmas, the Nativity, and the first thing I says, we're doing the Nativity, we're having no spacemen, we're having none of this, it is the Nativity, we're going to do it. And you know what? The parent says to me, we've been waiting for someone to come along and do that. You know, parents want to know. Anyway, so, done schoolwork, and I was a head teacher, and pandemic came just as I was retiring, and I was depressed. we moved because my wife is not ill and I need to get a bungalow, so we moved to Kettering and we bought a bungalow. But the thing was, I stopped in school and I thought, wow, that's great, it's all over. Now, do you remember that sentence that I says, I have no plans on being a youth leader when I'm 60? God decided to knock on the door and say, Des, I got a job for you. And again, now, all of a sudden, I'm a youth leader again in a church. So here I am, 30-odd years being a youth leader and thinking, you know, I don't want to do this. So, you know, because I thought, I'm old. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know what, God, the world's changed. Youth work has changed a lot in my time. I don't know enough. Back in the day, I knew every song in the charts. I knew the trends. I knew what was going on. I was researching it all the time. It was part of my life. I couldn't watch a TV program without thinking of youth. And how could I use that to share the gospel with the youth? And now all of a sudden, he's bringing me back to doing that. Well, you know what? When you're watching, you know, Big Bang Theory and Sheldon, you can't really... Anyway, I thought, okay, God, you've asked me to come back and do the youth. And I was really scared, if I'm honest with you. Really scared. Mm-hmm. I thought, God, what do I do? What do I do? And I went and talked to this youth group, and they looked at me, and they went, you're old. And I was like, yeah. But the thing was, my thing is, the one thing I can do really well is build relationship. And that's all I focused on, was building relationship with these kids. And I just talked to them, and I just talked to them, and I shared myself and told them who I was. And then all of a sudden, they started talking back, and they started telling myself and my wife things that they weren't telling anybody else. So for example, just before we came here, 2 days before we came here, one of my girls contacted us and said, Des, need to tell you this. I'm sat with my friend, and she's just found out she's pregnant, and she's having a miscarriage. What do we do? We've sat and talked about it, and we have concluded, and this pleased me, we have concluded God has decided this is not the time for her to be doing this yet. He's got other things for her to do. And I was like, oh, she's talking about God. Anyway, in the midst of all this, she's going, right, we need to talk. Now, these girls don't talk to anybody. So yesterday, they says, we need to meet you now. And I'm like, I'm packing up. I'm leaving the conference. I'm like, I've got to go. They need me. And then I thought, you know what? Let's stop this. She needs me. She's not in danger. Me and my wife can go tomorrow. So we're going to see her. When we leave here today, we've got to get back in time so we can go back and see her tomorrow. Faye asked me to say briefly my journey into youth work, which I've just spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
And what have we learned? There's so much we've learned. Longevity in youth work. Like Faye says, most youth workers go in there because they see youth work as a stepping stone to pastoralship. Okay, I had a speaker, listened to a speaker once, and he told me he went to a conference and all these pastors came to him, and he was a youth worker, and they said to him, oh, when are you going to give up youth work and come and join the big boys? He said, which I really admired him for, he said, I swung at him and hit him. which I thought was really great. I thought, oh. He said, because youth work, children's work are where God starts. God is very much about the family, all right? And it's all the family, not just the adults. And it's doing an important job. And so youth work for me was very, very important. Stop me when you think I need to. I'm speaking fast here, sorry.
Tell us, like, if somebody here is feeling like giving up,
oh gosh,
what would you say to them?
Hands up if you've never felt like giving up. Right. The thing about youth work, the thing about youth leaders is that we get emotionally involved, and it only takes a sentence from our youth to make us feel our world is crashing down and that we want to give up. And that happens all the time. So here's the thing. God called you into this not to be alone. He called you and he is with you. And when it's all going bad, we want to give up. The one thing I have learned about youth work is if my reliance on God is poor, my youth work is rubbish. As much as it may look wonderful in terms of the kids are jumping up and down and they're having fun in activities and the rest of it, and I see the odd fruit, if I'm not in connection with God, this is rubbish. All I am doing is building my people. I'm building people who are making decisions because of me, not a true relationship with Christ. And that's what we're about. Mm. We're about. So the first bit of advice I'd give you is make sure your relationship with God is true. You know, I do, and find the things that you need to do. I mean, for me, preparing for my talks and that, I had two Bibles. I made sure I had a Bible that was for me. Me and God, that was me and God. God talked to me. And I had one when I know I was studying for the youth and that. Still, I wanted God to be with me, but, you know, it just felt different. It worked for me. It was one of the things I did. So keep your relationship with God. Stay pure in heart and keep your heart soft for the young people.
Mm.
Yeah. When you lose your heart, you want to give up.
Mm.
When you lose your passion, you want to give up. When you forget why God called you to reach them, you want to give up. So keep your heart soft. Have enjoyment. Enjoy it. There'll always be times when it's hard. And let's face it, sometimes your ministers will come to you and they want you to save the world. You're not there to save the world. You're there to reach these young hearts, because that's what God's called you to do. Stay focused on that. It's easy to be distracted, to start doing every other thing. Stay true to what's important. And the most important thing that you're doing is reaching lives for Christ. Mm. And whether that the method may be different, but the purpose is the same. We're trying to reach young people for God. Be determined, okay? You're going to come across barriers. You're going to come across things that go bad. When you do, keep going. It's you and God. Keep going. Don't give up. Too many people give up on our young people. If you talk to our young people today and ask them what they really want, they want someone who talks to them, who listens to them, and not gives up when it starts to go bad or when they say something that they don't approve of. Keep going. Raise your own bar. By that I mean, set the standard high. It's very easy to just put on activities and games and feel you've been successful because the games have gone well, the activity's gone well. Raise the bar high. God deserves excellence. So give these young people excellence through God. Oh, another thing, don't be afraid to mention God. Just because you don't want to, you know, rub their faces, in, as it were, don't be afraid to say, this is about God. This is what Jesus can do in your life. Don't be afraid. As the head teacher, I used to say to my teachers, remember why you came into teaching. And I'd say to you, remember why you came into youth work. When you forget it, you want to give up. And God doesn't want you to give up. The joy of longevity is... Most people seem to think, churches think this way, and it gets on my last nerve. They should not let me talk. Anyway.
This is why we didn't have friends, because people liked talking. I know they like talking. You know, if we'd had several people here, we wouldn't have heard the whole journey.
Churches, unfortunately, work in boxes. You got adult church, you got kids church, you've got youth work, and then all the other things. And they work in boxes. And what tends to happen is none of the boxes join. And so the picture is distorted in its own little box. God didn't do little boxes. God built a family. And we need to be families. So work with the pastor. Share with the pastor. Tell them what's going on in youth work. Make them totally aware. Don't let them back off. Don't let them shove you into a corner and say, yeah. Go to them. Bring it to them. You know, I don't know if you read, there's a book called or talk on the 360 degree leader. One of the things as a youth workers, we tend to work with other youth leaders, but we don't work up. We don't work with the pastors, the elders, and share with them what's going on in the lives of young people. You know, it is important, because from that springs, you know, the care. You know, so get them involved. And I'm going
to
shut up.
This is your last point because I won't have time to pray for people.
Build your character, not your reputation. Build your character, not your reputation. Who cares what the person in the church next door thinks about me, as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do? Okay? So that's critical. Build your character, not your reputation. And if you don't do those things... I mean, there's a lot more I can share with you, but I won't. I've run out of time. But there's so much to help us stay the course. God's planted you in this. Don't give up. Keep fighting. These young people depend on you. They need you. This world needs you, and it needs them. And we're not going to change the world if we all start giving up. So stay with it. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Des. Do you feel like you've just had a pep talk from a spiritual dad? I knew that that's what Des was going to give us today. Last night during the worship, just because I'm just a youth leader, I've got some practical tips. And I know Des sort of shared some of these. Some of them are P's and R's and I's and S's. But anyway, but you know, if you've always got to end with 10 practical points, eh? So prayer, remember first you are a child. And a follower first. You can only take people where they're going. You need to keep walking with Jesus. Prayer needs to be number one. People, you need mentors, leaders in your life, but also friends that you can have a laugh with, that you can be accountable to, that can run the race. Surround yourself with those people. 3, rest. I mean, I'm not great at this. I'm not going to stand here and say I'm really good at this, at the rhythms of life, of rest, but finding stuff that recreates you, like not just sitting in front of the TV. We know this stuff. Restoration, have some fun. I think Des just shared that. Integrity, have accountability and live a life of consistency. Consistently. So important what Des just shared about character. young people are following you as a role model, and you know, leaders fall because they fall into sin so very often. Inspiration, keep learning, keep growing yourself, keep being inspired, whether that's been listening to stuff, reading stuff, to keep going. Spiritual disciplines, like just explore the spiritual disciplines. Probably the book that I've read most other than the Bible is Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. It's quite heavy, but if you're an intern with me, if you've ever been on team with me, we do a book study on that every year. So that's why I read it so much. But for me to explore the spiritual disciplines, I like being around people. I like, you know, the things that come naturally to me are not necessarily things that are most helpful for me. I've really discovered in the last couple of years that meditation and silence are really good for me. And because I was anxious and I was doing the same things I always do: worship, being around people, praying, getting input, and it wasn't working. I was still anxious, and then I discovered the joy of like meditating and silence, and I was like, oh, it's quite good. Solitude, really good. So step back, like reflect. You know, in order to be a youth leader that stays the long run, you know, we need to reflect on what is going on. Look at the bigger picture. Have gratitude, like I was saying earlier. Gratitude for everything that went right, as well as being real about the stuff that's gone wrong. And keep going. And then I put point number 10, and just keep going. Because, you know, if you said to me, have you ever felt like giving up? Last week. You know, do you know what I mean? Like every 3 months. But do I really want to give up? No, I don't really want to give up, because even if I'm not doing youth work, I talk to young people, I can't help it. It's just like, are you like that? It's just, it's got me. Youth work has got me. So I just wanted, like during the worship last night, I just felt, oh, I mean, one other thing, like I haven't put there, worship. Like we haven't been able to meet as a church very much because we haven't got a building. And so worship, just being in the presence, having the discipline to stay in that place of worship, it's quite hard when you're rushing around doing live stream stuff, or, you know, now when we're back in church, rushing around with kids stuff. But to be here and just be in the presence of God with other people and worship and listen, so good. It's just thanks for the worship this time. But during the worship last night, I felt that God wanted to finish today by saying, you know, the last couple of years have been hard, and I know some of you are going to have felt like giving up. And I was reminded of that song, the New Wine song, and I always get lyrics of songs wrong. My kids like laugh at me, like I just make them up. I like the worship songs and I make them up if I don't know them. But in the crushing, in the pressing, you're making new wine. And I felt like God saying, the last 2 years, bring some of the stuff to him, because he wants to bring some, like, I want to say that I have not been through, I've had a really difficult the last 6 months, not because of the pandemic, that's added to it. And doing this actually has helped me. If it didn't help any of you, it's helped me to think about why am I still doing this? But I don't want to have gone through what I've just gone through without being more like Jesus in it, and for having him refine me. And so I felt that God said in the worship last night, just bring your heart to Jesus again and ask him to refine you, because he wants to bring new wine out in you, but that might have come in the crushing and the pressing of the last few years. And that song says, I yield to you into your careful hands. Could we just pray? Do you want to just stand? And I just love to pray for you guys. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this group of people that even want to think about what it means to be in this for long term. And Lord, I know I don't have to be prophetic to know that there are people in this room that have been feeling like giving up. And Lord, this morning, I just want you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us all. Lord, will you refresh my brothers and sisters, my fellow teammates in this youth work, Lord God? Will you come and fill them with your Holy Spirit this morning? Will you refresh them, Lord? And we want to see that new wine just flowing out in us. And so, Lord, we bring our stuff to you. Lord God, we bring you, Lord God, we know that there has been some crushing and there has been some pressing, Lord God. But you are bringing new wine out of us. And so, Lord, I pray for a new level of anointing that doesn't come just because someone prays for you, but comes through the faithful and long obedience in the same direction. And Lord, we just want to pray, Lord God, for refreshment, for strength to fight, to keep on going another day, to go again, to keep on going, Lord God. And today we just come and we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we remind ourselves, Lord, that we are your children. And Lord, we just want to say that we love you. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts. And Lord, we just want to share that with other people. Help us to keep it simple. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll minister to each one of us and give us what we need for the long run. Holy Spirit, just come now. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you call us, that you called us. What a privilege it is to be called by you. What a privilege it is to be part of growing and building young people. Help us to keep our eyes on what is important, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.